Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 317, Patience, Part 1, Part 1. Today is Friday, November 8th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's tape is entitled, How's Your Patience? 1987. You are impatient, it says in Job 4 and 5. And I thought, well, this comes as kind of a surprise to me. We've been telling people for years that you have the patience of Job. But listen to Job 4, 1 through 5. And then Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered, and he says like this, if one ventures a word with you, will you become impatient? But who can refrain from speaking? Behold, you have admonished many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have helped a tottering stand, and you have strengthened feeble knees. And then he goes on, but now it comes to you. This is his friend speaking now. And you are impatient. It touches you, and you are dismayed. And so first we have his friend bragging him up. You've helped many, he says. You have strengthened weak hands. You have helped people to stand with your words. And so in other words, he's saying, your words have kept men on their feet. You have been very helpful to others. You've helped them to bear up in their sufferings and calamities with patience. And then he adds, Isn't it funny? We always have to add something sometimes. Maybe he was thinking to himself, Job, oh, here it comes. Now that a similar experience of suffering has come to you, you are impatient. Now, nowhere in the Word does Job make a claim to great patience for himself. In fact, he claims impatience. And he even went further and said he had the right to be impatient. I have a right to sing the blues. And that any other attitude, of course, would be at once stupid and unrealistic and also silly. I kind of go along with that. That's like us. How can you expect me to be patient when we lose it, when we blow our cool? Then Job 6 and 11 says, what is my strength that I should wait? And what is my end that I should endure? What am I going to get out of this thing anyway? I mean, what's this big deal about being patient? The rent's due, the covers are like Mother Hubbard's. I mean, what's the use? Don't we feel that way sometimes? Why continue on? I mean, what's this all about, Elfie? Why should I wait? Why should I be patient anyway? I mean, what is my end? What am I going to get out of this thing in the very end anyway? Answer that one, will you? Give me one, in other words, one good reason for going on. Enduring, I think a good word would be. Does that sound kind of familiar? Did you ever have those thoughts? Did you ever voice them? Did you ever complain to God that way? So Job 21 and 4, as for me, is my complaint to man? And why should I not be impatient, he seems to say. Why complain to man? What does he care anyway? And after all, would he really listen, or would he be looking off this way and that way? Is he really concerned anyway? Who cares? Would he really care? Would he get involved with my problem at all? And so, yeah, why shouldn't I be impatient? Or maybe you think I should not be the impatient one because I'm still breathing. Got these boils all over my body and everything like that? No, yeah, well, okay. Or maybe just because my mouth is still working just a little bit. See, these are not good reasons. You give me one good reason, friend, why I should be patient. And so in losing patience, what had Job lost? Well, number one, his reputation for having it. Having patience. Isn't it always easy to have patience in someone else's trial? Oh, hey, it'll turn around. Don't worry about it. I mean, you know, tomorrow is another day. Don't you know what the Word says? Now, you know the Word. Now, brother, just claim it by faith. I mean, after all, aren't you acting rather silly? Yeah. It's always easy, I said, to have patience in someone else's trial. Once, years ago, I ministered on contentment. And it says in Philippians 4 and 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I have learned to be content, and that's what Paul is saying. But I also believe patience is a learning process. Yes, and not only that furthermore, our wonderful God is greeting us on our patience. Preparing us to rule and reign. I don't know exactly what that means, but we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Now we know it's going to take patience to be able to rule and reign. He's probably watching to see how much we love under pressure. How long we'll endure under pressure and suffering, and what are our qualities in leading anyway, and do we listen when we come to church to hear the Word of God, or do we get all wrapped up in our own thoughts? You're being graded right here tonight from what you hear. Did you know that? Can we love people when they criticize? Will we have patience with them? Can we love children when they go astray? Can we love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul strength that's being tested, you see? And can we love our neighbor as ourselves? That's being tested right now. And so we are faced by this one word every day, love. We are challenged to do that, well, in a realistic way. How can you say you love me, the Lord says, when you don't obey me? So we're in the love test. Situations, all kinds of problems, tragedies, sufferings are going to check out our love, our patience. Love is patient, love is kind, and so on. But I believe right now in this day and age there is a death watch on all of the situation ministries like our very own here that are up front doing any kind of work. There's a death watch on. Any Bible-believing, soul-winning church in the end is going to be under a whole lot of pressure. And so Satan will throw every trick at the Church of Jesus Christ. And so maybe if there's people out there and other congregations out there that are attacking one another, and one comes up king of the mountain, I'd almost have to say king of the dunghill. The world is going to be watching that person. Watching, watching, watching. The Bible also warns, be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. And so every trick is going to be thrown at the Church of Jesus Christ. And so I think it's time that the Christians come down off the high horse like Paul had to. Receive the light, get blinded by the light, till the Lord can take the scales off our eyes. Anyway, our patience will certainly be tested. I did a little study on King James, and many words from King James aren't even in circulation anymore. As for an example, in the English language, to let meant to prevent. Now it means to permit. By and by then meant immediately. By and by now means any time, but immediately. But you know what? Patience means the very same thing it did then. Patience, it says, is the power. Now, it's only God's power that can give you patience. Patience is the power, it says, to wait for a hope for good. So we're in for a good wait. And so the fact that good is hoped for rules out listlessness and indifference. The attitude, oh, I feel it will work out. I think sometimes we feel patient in the face of injustice when we are merely indifferent, because that injustice is not directed against us. Oh, well, let's just wait and see. Don't let it throw you. Someone could be losing their house and their car and their job, and all kinds of things are going wrong. We'll say, well, hey, let's just wait and see what God's going to do in this thing. And it's so easy to be patient when someone else is holding on to the inner tube with a leak in it. Yeah, we can bear patiently when the headache is not our own head aching. Yeah. We can bear patiently when the toothache is someone else's toothache. Oh, gee, I don't feel nothing. What's wrong with you? Just, why are you making such a fuss? My face doesn't hurt. I think it's easy for church people to seem patient with very little spiritual growth if it doesn't care for such values. There's a lot of growth in this particular ministry here. In fact, it's produced some giants. Did you know that? Some real giants. And God's watching these giants in this church. Maybe people won't even agree with that. Maybe they won't like the giants. But God has favored and causing to grow spiritually by being the doing people. Maybe some of the giants are listening right now. There are people that send in money to feed the poor. They pray about it. They get down on their hands and knees, and they're standing or they're working, and they pray, radio audience, tape ministry, and they pray and they say, God, do you want me to feed the poor? What does it say in the Word? Should I? You're giants out there, and you're listening on the radio. And then we have those that maybe even tape the message on their little, the same tape. They probably use it over and over and over again, and they find themselves midgets in the Lord. Are you out there listening, and you haven't had the blessing of sending anything in? Well, then send something in. End of conversation as far as that's concerned. I ain't going to wait for a half hour, minister on giving for a half hour. Just pray about it. So many times we mistake the indifferent person for a patient one. They're just indifferent to everything. They don't care what happens. And we'll look at them and say, isn't this person patient? No. So then patience then is the power to wait for a hope for good. I mean, you're on call. The power to wait for a hoped for good. So before we go on, radio audience, people in here tonight, tape ministry, let's check out our patience. And I think, while we're checking out, I think a lot of people will find out that they can't find theirs. There's nothing to check out. It's here someplace. I know I must have misplaced it, but they don't have it. A lot of times kids will say mom or dad is losing their patience. Sometimes they do with you. Sometimes they say, one more word, just keep it up. See, actually, parents, we have lost our so-called patience with the first sign of trouble. We've been restraining ourselves. Parents, you ever do that when you restrain yourself? Or just people? You do that, you restrain yourself. Your eyes roll and you have that heavy sighing, and maybe you stomp your foot, expand your neck veins. Maybe your eyes are popping out, your necks are all red. You're restraining yourself. And then comes our famous looks. That's it look. I've had it look. You dirty rats, you're going to get a James Cagney look. Okay, I've had enough. And all we've been doing, we haven't had any patience at all. We've been restraining ourselves, holding back, trying to act like we have. You can't act out patience. You blow your cover every time. You can promise yourself, when you go to bed that night, tomorrow I'm going to be patient. No, tomorrow you're going to restrain yourself. And boy, look out when you get ready to blow. No, I say it's time to leave when people get like that. I mean, get yourself out of that room. So I think a lot of times we develop a sort of a tolerance levels with one another. We tolerate one another. Now we blow at a person, and the next time we say, well, that's the way they are. I have to learn to be more tolerant. What's tolerance? It's degrees of restraining. It's not patience. Maybe we go for one full day, and we really have the victory with that person. And we go to bed seething like Mount Helena. An active volcanic mass that could blow at any moment. Plan your escape route from such people. We need to develop the power to wait for a hope for good. I see people that come into missions. I mean, you know, there's some that are pretty pathetic. That's calling on our patience. God brought them in there for a reason. Nobody else wants them. I mean, they do not want them. Total period, do not want them. They smell bad, they look bad, they act bad. But see, love is patient. Where's the love? I mean, preachers, will you stay with your ministry? Even though it isn't too popular. Or will you just tolerate people? Well, it's just, you got to put up with certain people. I mean, this guy brings in heavy-duty dough, you know, or whatever. Or this person over here, or this person's in this, and this person's doing that, and so on like that. And we start to tolerate. Yeah. Are you hearing this? A lot of times, you see, we have given up hope of ever reaching a person. And I'm thinking of people that come in here right now. I mean, they come into the mission. I mean, I know that they have not been reached by their parents, by their family, when they were in school. Nobody wants them around. What a feeling. Nobody wants them around. Right, Roy? Have you seen people like that? At the hobo bus, Jim? And nobody wants them around. No one has had patience enough to stand them. And that's where we come in. Getting a hold of the unlovable. Maybe they don't know all the religious, charismatic cliches. Maybe they... like I said, don't smell too good, or maybe they're kind of rude, or maybe they're angry or mean, or maybe they got a lot of bad habits. Well, they're just sent for you to have patience with. I didn't say you just let them do whatever they want to do, but I mean, there's such a thing as you tolerate people. If it's just tolerating people, it's no good. It's a secondary thing. See, that power then to wait is gone. We must learn to pray to God, help me to see some good. Well, what do we do? How do we come about that? Well, I think, number one, come out of rebellion. Undouble your white knuckles. Stop looking like the kid that dropped the ice cream off of the top of his cone. Pull in them pouting lips because you didn't get your own way. Maybe even so far as go to the mirror and talk to you. Talk to yourself. I can tolerate only so much of that person. And then ask yourself, am I hoping for good? Do I expect something out of that person? That's the key to the whole thing. When somebody comes in and they're so decrepit, so base, so low, in your eyes, or our eyes, do we expect anything out of them? Or do we just throw the food at them and we don't expect nothing out of you? There, you just take it. Eat it and get out. Expectation. Hoping for something good to come out of that person. That's what God is still hoping on all of us. Something good will come out of it. Yeah, go to the mirror. Ask the person looking back at you to show you the good in that person that you can't stand. And give you the power to wait for it to show up. Doesn't that give God glory? Years ago, I'm starting to get letters back in here from people now. I've been in it long enough where you get letters back and testimonies are coming in from the city or whatever. And people that now are adults and they have kids that are 10, 11, 12, 13, and they heard the gospel message and we had patience with them, and they were drug addicts and they were all kinds of misfit children. Are you hearing this message tonight? Somehow, that particular time in my ministry, God gave us patience. And the testimonies come back then that, praise God, that someone cared for me at that time in my life, and I never forgot it. Didn't that say something? I think it does. I think it gives God glory when we have patience with people rather than in just endurance and you know, tolerance maps. I think we should tear up our tolerance charts. We put little stars in there, 4 stars or 3 stars or whatever. And simply start receiving the power to wait for a hope for good. Receive it. You don't have it. And what are you doing then? You are now developing faith in God. Say, God, I can't hope for any good in this person. But by faith in you, Lord, that you're going to give that to me. Now that's really the riches. Right there, when you pray to God to give you faith in what you're doing. Now, don't you think 1 minute on the radio, this is an easy job down here, working this mission. There are a lot of things going on. And one of the worst things we can run into is tolerating one another. Well, okay, one more thing, and I'm fed up. Oh, you know, that kind of attitude. Praise God, all them folks is non-existent. They left. See, the ministry is so heavy into waiting for something good to happen and expecting by faith it's going to come. But it creates an atmosphere of waiting for a hope for good. Waiting power, let's call it. Inward peace that you get from answered prayers. Doesn't that give you peace when you look and somebody's transformed and you thought, this person's never going to change. All of a sudden you look down here in the mission and this person's changed and that person's changed. And then you go on, you say, and you forget, see, and then someone comes in, in fact, the very same thing. A pattern of what happened before. Oh no, well, this person is beyond God. Well, we all were beyond God before God came and saved us. Well, do you mean as soon as I have peace, it gets results? Yes. If you're tolerating people, you will have no peace. But as soon as you have peace on it, you're going to get answers to prayer, answers for needs of money, loved ones changing, situations turning for good. I'll bet one thing, if we all had these little valves on top of our head like we have down there in the boiler room, they call them pop-off valves, with gauges on our foreheads, so people could check out our boilers. I believe we would grow in patience then, wouldn't we? We'd find we had none, and then people would say, "There she blows." Are you hearing it? See, you have to receive that power for the waiting for the hope for good. Now, I don't say you don't temporarily, that it happens that you do lose temporarily faith in someone that they're ever going to make it, but by the next morning you wake up and you're revived. You say, "Oh no, something good is going to happen. I just believe it." Aren't you glad your parents are like that? You listening on the radio? Something good's got to come out of this. Huh? Aren't you glad that God looks at us that way? Oh, yeah, I'm really glad about that. I mean, there's people that cause us to blow up merely by their presence. They walk into the room, and we lose our patience just by their mere presence. Maybe you don't like their voice. Morning! Maybe they have an irritating cough. So we lose patience with them. Or maybe we're running around and they get in our way. "Get out of my way!" Boom! You know, sometimes if kids get in our way, we want to modify, or people get in our way. "Get out of my way!" Or maybe when we're driving. Do you ever know? When you're inside of your car, you are dangerous. It's like you're in your own compartment there. You can do anything or say anything you want. You're in your car. Your weapon. Your missile. Huh? People are making hand signals at one another along the highway and all kinds of nasty naughties. Huh? Even shooting each other now. "Try to get around me, will ya?" Yeah. Why? Because when they get in that car, they lose all of their patience. They could be the nicest person. "Bye." And grandma leaves. "Bye-bye." And grandma gets in the car. And grandma drives away. And somebody blows her horn. And grandma turns into a monster. And they think, like, when you're in your car, nobody can see you. Huh? Everybody can see you. The whole thing is windows. Yeah. Oh, how we need that inward peace. And you only get it when you drop tolerance charts. And I'm going to put up with this person. I'll make it with this person if somehow, God help me. He won't help you with that kind of an attitude. You have to pray, "Lord, help me to have patience. That hope for good coming from someone or something." And don't try to pamper good into people. Huh? Did you ever try to pamper your kids into being good? "No, you just be a good little boy." And pretty soon, Luke, you'll be going to school. "Now, you be a good little boy in school." It didn't matter to me when Stevie or any of you kids, had your little times. Because I think kids can be so good that they grow up cowards. They're so cowardly they don't dare do bad. So they get a big kick out of it when somebody else does and they get caught. Oh yeah, go on, get him, sick him like a little feisty dog. You know, get him, and they cause trouble, see? And they get things going because they haven't got the guts to do it themselves. Low energy people. Very low energy. They don't even want them in the army. Because they want to push the generals up there. No, go on, sir. You go. I'm not talking about that kind of dictatorship over our children. But you do hope that those kids will turn out, don't you? They'll be able to go out and make their own way. A hope for good, something is going to come out of this investment.
There you have it. That was Patience, part one of part one. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It might be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to
like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.